In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris. Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
They blitz more than any other team on any down. They load up the box. They typically want, you know, many rushers, rushing a QB, as many one-on-ones at the least that they can have. And I think they play well together.
That's Caleb Williams talking about the Vikings defense that he gets to face on Monday night. This is Rahimi and Harris with Mark Brody on The Score. Mark Brody is at Hallis Hall. And I think that the Vikings defense is a test for anyone. The fact that we didn't talk about Caleb Williams last year crumbling underneath it, the outside factors are typically what we discuss when we talk about the results of the two losses last year compared to what could happen this year. That also, Marshall, is an indication that you're a little more encouraged in year number two, even if it's a new offense with Ben Johnson, just by that alone. Like, hearing Caleb Williams talking about it gives you a little more confidence. He knows that he knows what's coming, or at least he knows that they're going to try to make it sure that he doesn't know what's coming, but that's the element of surprise. You have to know that they're going to try to throw you off balance in any way, shape, or form.
People can tell you about what it's going to be like, but for him to have experienced it firsthand, not once, but twice, and been in one game, taking his team to overtime and won, and then being in a much less desirable situation on the road, I think that has him in a mindset where, okay, I know what the worst of it should look like because I got sacked 68 times last year, and the Minnesota Vikings has people who seem like they're omnipresent.
Yeah, if you just look at like blind box score stats, obviously, last year to last year, Bears' offensive numbers versus Minnesota defensive numbers, horrifying.
Not like, great.
Horrifying. 68 sacks, for example. Minnesota tied for the NFL lead with 33 takeaways in 2024. They were fifth allowed in points per game. You know, you just go along with that and you're like, okay, got it. That's why they were one of the best teams in the regular season last year. You know Brian Flores is going to cook up something terrifying. But knowing that and then being able to know you've got that extra, if I have to go off platform, if you have enough time to do so, you know, at least you've got like a plan B if you have to have it. I think that also affects your plan A. And that's the part of this that I think is pretty key. The concept of confusion, like we talk about, being the real currency in the NFL now, your whole job is to confuse your opponent as well as physically dominate them. This all plays a factor in what the Bears are expecting on Monday night.
So that plan A that you're talking about, the best part of it is now plan A is being run by Ben Johnson. So he looks back over his shoulder and he realizes, hey, I was told if I just do what this guy tells me to do and execute what he wants me to do, we'll be fine. I'm going to go ahead and follow that based on his resume and based on the fact that, like, I'm kind of scared of him because I don't really know what to expect from him. So I love the Caleb Williams-Ben Johnson dynamic as far as the Jedi Master and the Padawan, the new Padawan that's come through. And let's be honest, Caleb Williams is still very much in Padawan stage right now. He may be very, very talented, but you want to make sure that he becomes the best of the Jedi as opposed to, like, I don't know, Darth Vader?
Well, and the thing is we know Ben Johnson has said his success with the Lions against the Vikings, he's not going to copy and paste that game plan. So what does he have to say about facing them with this Bears team? Well, Mark Grody asked him that very question.
How difficult is it to get creative or add extra help as far as blocking is concerned when you have two guys on the Vikings in Bernard and Van Ginkel who are, you know, capable of double-digit sack seasons?
Shoot, yeah. I mean, I think there's more than that, too. They have Dallas Turner was a first rounder a year ago that he's going to be coming to his own here year two. And then I think they really upgraded their interior defensive line as well. I think that gets overlooked a little bit between Jonathan Allen and Hargrave. So, you know, I think the beauty of the defense, once again, I said it yesterday, is they create a lot of one-on-one matchups. And when you have guys that they feel good about winning their one-on-ones, that it puts a lot of stress on our guys. But, you know, I think we know the task at hand. We'll see how practice goes here this week. And, you know, it's hard to have any breather plays this week. It's just the nature of how Flo calls it. And, you know, we got to be locked in if we want to have success against this defense.
There's a lot there.
I love all of it, but specifically when he talks about two things I love. Sometimes coaches kind of get vague when they talk about other players, or even if they get specific. Not as, I don't want to say it's disrespect, but they're like, the number. They call it the number. He's calling guys' names by name when he's responding to Mark Grody's question, because he's like, oh yeah, you talked about those guys, but what about these other guys in the middle? What about these other guys? And the fact that he talks about one-on-one matchups, and that's when my light bulb goes off, because he's like, yeah, we're gonna need a left tackle this week. We're going to need a left tackle, because if Brian Flores thinks he can exploit the left tackle position and that left tackle's on an island for any extended period of time, there's going to be trouble. So I'm really curious as to how he accepts that, because he's already talked about it, and then talks to his team about whether they're going to have somebody out there with him helping Braxton Jones, or scheming things in a way that Braxton Jones is not exposed in a bad way.
Well, and I think it's also step number one for Brian Flores is still attempt to confuse your quarterback. That's going to be what it is, right? It's attempt to confuse your quarterback, knowing what I know about what your new OC does. And it's that second step where I feel like he's probably game planning. If you're Kevin O'Connell on the other side, you're saying, who's available in the secondary? Let's go get him. You know, that's probably your game plan number one, knowing what you know about the Bears position groups and who's injured. So you're attacking the weaknesses either way. I think one of the reasons Braxton Jones is the guy this week is because he's also the most mentally capable. And I'm not saying people don't have the mental aptitude. I'm saying he has the most experience. He has the most understanding of what he's seen. You know, that experience is what also gets you there. It's not just necessarily, oh, is this the end game for everybody? No, he's the veteran. He's established. He knows a little bit of what to expect more than, say, a rookie in Ozzie Trapillo, for example, or a guy who didn't see playing time outside of mostly on the practice squad, Theo Benedict. You know, I feel like those are the differences there.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, Karan Amagaji faced the Vikings. We know how that
did
went.
Did he, though?
And it was on the road, which factors in tremendously.
Just
here.
One of the top five dumbest things that the Bears did last year by player or coach was putting him out there in that situation for his first ever NFL appearance.
But I say all of that to say there's multiple factors that help bake in the reason that it's not going to be complete shock and awe, or at least it doesn't get anticipated that way.
No, Braxton Jones has seen it, much like we were talking about Caleb Williams has seen Brian Flores' defense twice. Braxton Jones has seen a lot in the NFL over his 40-plus starts at the tackle position. So even if he's not 100% physically, the mental aptitude that you're talking about, the capabilities and his ability to look back and remember what happened, watch film in a different way because he lived it, is definitely something that Ben Johnson, I guess, is banking on at this point.
Well, and also when he says there's a lot of flow dictating game flow. So what is the defense giving you? Which means you're going to see in-game adjustments. You want to see them before halftime. Yeah, that's part of this too, is I feel like so many times last year we talked about the Bears' halftime adjustments. You want to see those happen in game a little bit more clearly. So that's where I think he's also discussing that. You know, hopefully we see that from one drive to the next. You know, hopefully we see maybe something get picked up on a little bit more. That would be a benchmark for me. And when I hear him talk, I feel like that's going to be something you're seeing. And because it's before halftime, usually you just would look at it as, oh, these are different plays, or this is a different drive or something like that. The element of confusion, again, comes back into play.
The confusion is going to be great because we know that Ben Johnson knows that Brian Flores knows that Ben Johnson knows that they each have things up their sleeve. And I can't wait to see it play out in this. I'm anticipating what you might be doing, but you might be doing something different. So I'm also planning for that just in case. And it goes, it's a two-way street. With those two, it's a two-way street. And Ben Johnson's gotten the better of Brian Flores the last 2 years. He really has.
Well, and the Bears did come back from, what, 11 down in that 30-27 loss in overtime. They're capable of coming back.
You know why? Caleb Williams. That's when the magic comes out.
The game flow he's talking about. Caleb Williams talks about flow state. That's different. I think that's him feeling that the game has slowed down around him. That's a timing thing. That's an offensive rhythm thing, almost like where the game feels like a meditation to you. But this game flow is a different piece. That is what you're talking about, the adjustments, and then feeling that way as a result.
Yeah, for Caleb Williams, I think, you know, we did predictions yesterday. I said 7-10. I think a lot of that is because early in the season, I don't know if he's going to be within striking distance at the end of the game to make the Caleb magic matter. But I think late in the season, that Caleb magic and these one score, you know how NFL games typically are, that Caleb magic is going to be the difference in winning games later in the season, I believe.
Well, and that one, for example, was a one score game. You just don't want to lose all of them. Not yeah. That I'm still bitter.
If you just win half of your one-score games during the 10-game losing streak, it looks a lot different, the season as a whole. You get what I'm saying?
Games. That's a double-layer math.
Now, don't get me wrong. There's an Arizona game in there. There's a Patriots game in there. There's some games where you're just like, okay, that game, they didn't have a chance.
Hey, by the way, while we're here thinking about the disappointing losses or the ones that frustrated you the most, did anybody listen to the Take the North podcast and find out yet the prediction between Mark and Dan Weider for who the most disappointing player was going to be?
I did not. Who was it?
The MDP.
Maybe,
I hadn't heard it yet. That's why I was asking.
I may have to text Grody and ask him that question now that it's out. Now that the embargo is off.
How would you answer that?
The potential MDP?
Yeah, for you.
I think for me,
I just spent a half a segment trying to coach up Tyreek Stevenson on a Friday morning.
I don't think it's him, because I told you, Pro Bowl.
I'm team Tyreek as well.
Pro Bowl or bust for Tyreek Stevenson. He's going to get the opportunities. He's going to make it happen because he has no choice.
I'm worried that he might elicit the reaction of, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
So the disappointment is, I'm just going to say it like this. Second round. There were three players the Bears took in the second round. I'm going to need something out of the second round. It's the second round. And you go.
So we've moved the goalpost now from the Ryan Poles era third rounders, because there's not enough of them left.
Let's hope it doesn't seep into the first round.
To the Ryan Poles era second rounders.
Well, no, you expect a reasonable expectation of a second round pick in the NFL is that player contributes in a significant way year one. It doesn't have to be at the beginning of the season, but by the end of the season. And now, I just look, give me one of those guys to hitch my wagon to, whether it's Luther Burden III, whether it's Shamar, whether it's Ozzie, Trapillo, yeah. Like those are three different players, three different positions, and I don't know if Luther Burden III is going to get enough run.
Yeah, I was going to say, out of those three, who plays the most? See, that's what I'm saying. Like, Ozzie, I don't know what his role is going to be, how much he's going to play. Luther, I mean, he's the fourth wide receiver right now. Say, I don't know which one is getting run.
I think it's probably Luther, right? Given what they expect to see out of him in the slot. Or does that become like the one and two with him and Zacchaeus?
Well, doesn't Shamar Turner have to play? Doesn't he have to rotate in and play football?
I think that's the answer.
I think he has to be a guy that's in every game trying to do something. He's a second round pick. Your second round defensive lineman has to do something.
Yeah, so should your second round offensive lineman.
Yes.
But when you've got established veterans in front of them.
And that's why Luther Burden III is probably going to get a bit of a pass, because it's like, what's he supposed to do with really good guys? As long as the offense is making things happen, they should be in good shape. So it's exciting.
But that's a big as long as.
Oh, well, yeah, I got faith in Ben Johnson.
Part of the reason we're talking about this in the way we are is because they simply did not run enough plays as an offense last year.
70 is the goal this year, I believe. 70 per game for Ben Johnson.
That would be fantastic.
That means good things are happening and you're controlling the clock. Do you want to give stuff away?
Yeah, you deserve to at least, I think, have some things for hanging out with us.
Yeah, so just keep listening for the chance to win a pair of tickets to the first ever Oktoberfest with the Cubs, which is coming to Wrigleyville September 19th through the 21st. A little preview for you. In the Toyota Camry lot on Gray Street. Enjoy authentic food, beer tents, live music, carnival rides, even a ceremonial keg tap. Tickets on sale now, starting at just $15. Children 10 and under, they get in free. Head to Cubs.com. That's Cubs.com/Oktoberfest for the details.
About those Cubs, before you're in your pumpkin spice and apple cider season and whatnot.
I think it's here already, but yeah.
It is. What's been lost in a lot of the discussion surrounding Kyle Tucker's availability has been not only how this affects his future moving forward, because he's a free agent at the end of the season, but also where the likely targets are. Well, Jeff Passan had some pretty big news on ESPN that he's continued to track over the last couple of weeks. We want to give you the latest on that. It's worth a listen. That's next here on Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody. He's at Halas on The Score.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.